help us with our prayer, please. Amen. Let's all take your hymnals and turn on hymn number 432. 432, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank you.
a birthday or an anniversary. Anybody will catch it this time. All right, have a birthday today. All right, let's say happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
What a blessing. So if you enjoy like that, 17th will be my students will be titled here for him. A lot of them are church kids. They'll be vocal. Mark that down, I think. Tiffany or Abigail VC has a few piano students that are also going to take part in that. So it'll be a good night, Christmas tunes. I encourage you to plan to come if you'd like to be a part of that. Jeremiah chapter 3.
Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Now, the title of this is Jeremiah's second sermon, okay? So it's his second sermon. It actually goes chapter 3 through chapter 6. So if I'm going to be a betting man, I'm going to think we're probably not going to get all the way through this tonight. Just reading the chapters would take a while, let alone the insight that, you know, that go along with it. And so we're going to just take a swing at it, see how far we can go in this tonight. But this is Jeremiah's second sermon. We'll begin in chapter 3, verse number 1. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lain with. In the ways hast thou set for them as Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there have been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass, through the lightness of her whoredom, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than the treacherous Judah. Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. We thank you for this time together this evening. We pray and ask, Lord, that you would meet with us, that you might be honored and glorified through the teaching of your word tonight. Lord, might you give us insight and wisdom to be able to understand what Jeremiah is trying to convey to Israel here in this second message. I pray that you would just lead and guide, be with those that are sick tonight, unable to be with us. Touch their bodies, heal them according to your will. We love you, and we ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen. And so our first point tonight is divorce. So Jeremiah's second sermon, he's preaching to the nation of Israel. Actually, it's a divided nation now between Judah and Israel. So the second message that Jeremiah is going to proclaim to them, he starts off talking about divorce. Now, the thing we've got to remember is that this is a spiritual divorce, okay? He's using the physical type of divorce, but he's trying to bring them around to see the spiritual divorce that they've done to God, how that they pushed him away, how they don't want anything to do with him any longer. And yet he had made them his people, but they wanted to basically divorce themselves from God and be like the other nations. And so he gives us the illustration here in these first 11 verses. By the way, this topic of divorce is dealt with throughout chapter number 3. So the illustrations here in verses 1 through 11 is the illustration, and we just read that. Jeremiah likens God's relationship to Israel of that of an innocent husband who divorces his adulterous wife. God had not moved as the perfect husband. He had stayed in the right place. He had kept himself in the right relationship. It was Israel that had gone out, Judah that had gone out, and or Israel who had gone out and lived an adulterous lifestyle spiritually. They had refused God. They didn't want God any longer in their life. They wanted to live their own way. And then due to his great love for her, he desires to rebuild the fractured marriage. God is trying to woo them back. Judah, come back. Israel, come back. Come back in a right relationship with me. Desire to know me. Desire to turn from your wickedness. Desire to turn away from those things that you worship. And so he's desiring them to come back. I thought it was interesting in verse number 9. Of course, we know this is a spiritual application. Verse number 9 just happened to catch me. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Of course, they had turned idols. You know, they turned away from God. They had turned into this adulterous spiritual relationship with their idols, with their stones and their stocks, with those things that they could make by hand. They turned to those things to have more power than God himself. They rejected the all-powerful God who loved them and cared for them, and they turned in their spiritual wickedness away from God, and they worshiped those things that their hands had created. Can I just say it hasn't stopped today? There's people around the world still worship their stuff. Even in America. They worship their stuff, their cars, their houses, their 401k. How much money you got in the bank? I got this much. How much do you got? You know, it's a big comparison. I don't really need God. I've got this stuff. This stuff is going to take care of me. I'm going to be all right because I've got my stuff. Listen, God wants us to come before Him humbly and broken. He wants us to come before Him and spiritually to need Him and to desire a relationship with Him. But these people had forced themselves away from God. They had walked away from Him. And so we see the invitation that He gives them in verse number 12 of chapter 3. He tells them, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge, and what a great offer. God is saying, look, if you'll just come back, if you'll return, if you'll try to make things right, I'm going to meet you more than halfway. I'm going to forgive your sin. I want to welcome you back. I'm a merciful God. I want to forgive you. I will not keep my anger forever. Yet people today reject God, just as Israel here rejected God. And they were bound to keep it living their way and doing their thing. And a lot of Christians today are more concerned about doing what they want and worshiping God their way and walking with God their way rather than how does God want me to worship Him? Verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's telling them, look, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Admit that you're wrong. Admit that you sinned against me. Admit that you walked away from me, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So God's like saying, I'm going to give you all the options. I'm going to make it easy for you to come back. If you'll just admit your sin, if you'll just admit you're wrong, I'll take you back. I'll love you. Look, I'm going to forgive you. I'm a merciful God. I am married to you. I want to care for you and provide for you. And I'm going to give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Today, He still gives pastors. He still gives them to a good church. A lot of churches have hirelings. They're there for a paycheck. Here today, gone tomorrow. They're here to tickle the ears. What do you want to hear? What would you like to hear? I'll just tell you what, I'll pipe whatever music you want me to pipe to you. Whatever will draw the crowd, that's what they're going to do. Listen, a preacher who'll get up, proclaim the truth, doesn't really matter what you're going to say about it. He's more worried about what God's going to say about it. That's a pastor. Someone who'll come and love you in the middle of your wickedness and desire to pull you back close to God. Someone who desires to see you in a right relationship, who is busy about seeing that the flock is fed and taken care of, and He gives them knowledge and understanding of the things of God that is still needed today. And verse 16 says, and it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time they shall call Israel the throne of God, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations. And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad how easy we can find ourselves away from God? A busy week. Maybe too busy to read my Bible. Busy week, lots going on, traveling, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, the kids have been sick, this, that, and the other thing, I'm too busy to pray. I'm not talking about praying for your food, you know, thank you God, amen, that type of prayer. I'm talking about really praying, really taking time to get close to God and to know His heart. I'm telling you, this can happen to any of us, even me. It happens to me. There's times I have to stop and say, God, forgive me for where I'm at. I shouldn't be here. I know I shouldn't be here. I know where I need to be. I need to be by your side. Forgive me for me getting here. I want back there. Isn't it good that God just opens his arms and pulls us back in? I mean, I'm glad that we're not in charge, because we might say, well, wait a minute. That really hurt. You're going to have to do some penance over that, you know. You're going to have to hurt because I hurt. I'm glad our God's not that type of God. Verse 21. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children for Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Heaven help us that we would ever forget the Lord our God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even unto this day, and I have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. And so the Lord makes an appeal here, verses 12 through 22. And the basis of that appeal is that Israel must confess and renounce its terrible sins of idolatry in order to be restored. God says, if you want a right relationship, you've got to confess where you've sinned against me, you've got to make it right, you've got to turn your back on it, and I will forgive you. That's the basis. The blessings, verses 16 through 22, my wayward children, saith the Lord, come back to me, and I will heal your wayward hearts. God dwells among his people as a loving, faithful father. He loves and cares for us. I'm so glad that God doesn't treat me like you might a fly under a microscope, you know? How much pain can I put this thing through before it dies? God loves us and cares for us, and he is compared to a faithful father. We can cry out to him. They tell us in the New Testament, cry out to him, Abba, Father. He is my heavenly father. Jesus is my big brother, by the way. Man, I'm so thankful for that. I can cry out to him in my time of need, and he is a faithful father who will hear and forgive. I don't know, you may have never had a son or a daughter that's broke your heart, but just live a while. It'll happen. It'll happen. I think one thing that we need to be quick to do, especially as a father, is to forgive. My wife, she can carry a mean stick for a while. I'm like, hey, you know, you ask for forgiveness, I'll give it to you. Let's move on down the road. Let's get it right. Let's take care of it. And so I think there's a perfect reason here. We can turn to our Heavenly Father. We can cry out to him. He hears, he forgives, and he pours his mercy upon us, and we can walk with him again. We don't have to be separated from him. And Jeremiah's telling the nation of Israel, look, if you'll just turn back to him, God will forgive you, and you can have that right relationship with him again. Jeremiah's prediction, seen in verses 22 through 25, someday Israel will repent and return to God. Then we see the disobedience. So the first thing we saw was divorce. The second thing we'll see is disobedient. Disobedient. And this is chapter 5. So we're going to jump over chapter 4 for just a minute. I'm going to go to chapter 5, disobedient. We're going to see Israel's terrible sin. Now, we're kind of going to jump around here and look at different verses of chapter 5. So you want to stay on your toes, don't fall asleep, or you'll wake up and go, how did we get here? Okay? So the first thing we see is dishonesty in verses 1 through 5, chapter 5. Run ye to and fro throughout the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof. If ye can find a man, if there be any that execute a judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have not refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore, I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. So he's dealing with the disobedience among the poor and the ignorant, verses 1 through 4, and then among the leaders of Israel itself in verse number 5. We find idolatry and immorality spoken of in verses 7 through 10. So we're going to move to verses 7 through 10. And no matter what God does for the people, they worship idols and they visit the brothels. Verse 7. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and swore by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, and make not a full end. Take her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. And so he's dealing with idolatry and immorality here in the nation. They have their idols where they've turned their heart against God. They have this immorality that's running rampant in their nation. And now the third thing we're going to see is treachery. Treachery. We're going to go to verse 11 through 13 and then verses 20 through 31, okay? Chapter 5, verse number 11. For the house of the Lord and the house of Judah hath dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. And the prophet shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. There's a lie that's being told. Look at verse number 20, chapter 5. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me? Question, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which hath placed the sand for the bound of the sea? This is so interesting, so exciting. He's talking to man, says, look, will you not fear me? Oh, by the way, this reminds me of today. I see the world today, right here. The hatred that the world has today for God is so real, and that hatred is being carried over to the children of God. Look, he says, will you not fear me? O foolish people, without understanding, you have eyes to see and ears and hear not. Hear ye me, saith the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence, which hath placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart, and they are revolted and gone. Yeah, I hope that you've been to the sea. I hope you've been on the sandy seashores. It's an exciting place to me to be. I love to watch the water come in. And it's always kind of amazing how the water moves, and yet there's bounds that it doesn't move too far unless a major storm might move, some things. I remember we were in the Philippines one night. I'd preached for Brother Phillips. The Quinlans had taken us. And, I always thought, I'd like to go to Hawaii, and I'd like to get a hut on the sand, you know? Doesn't that sound like romantic or cool? Or how many of you would sign up if I give you a free hut on the sand? Yeah, don't get too excited. Because we're there. Greco's running around the room, you know? You're hoping that as you're sleeping, they don't fall on your face. You know, the little green... Yeah, they're everywhere. They're in the shower with you. Yeah. And you walk in from the sandy, beautiful beach, and you walk inside, and you got sand all over your feet, and it's like tile, and so sand's all over the whole room. Oh, it's so romantic. But anyhow, so we're there with the Quinlans, and we're just kind of relaxing after having been in church, and Mindy and Miss Pam were there, and they kicked their shoes off, and Mindy had a pair of flip-flops on, and she kicked them off, and the ocean's kind of coming in and going out and coming in and going out, and before long, her shoes are gone. Yeah, the water came in, took them out, and her dad, typical John, he goes, well, that'll teach you to take your shoes off and leave them so close to the water, and all that. Yeah. So we eventually have enough of that, and we go to bed that night. Remember, you want to stay on the beach, right? Does noise bother you at night? It's all night long. Water, it just got right up to the sides of the wall where we were staying. We were right on the beach. Get up in the morning, sand all over the floor. So exciting to get dressed and ready for the day, having to wipe sand off of yourself a whole time. Anyhow, so we get outside, and lo and behold, I kid you not, I bet you there's 1,000 flip-flops. Lining the beach. There's flip-flops everywhere. And she found her flip-flops. Yeah, it was the wildest thing, greatest story ever. She kicks them off one night, they get washed out, she comes out the next morning in the midst. Who's got time to look through about 1,000 flip-flops? She did. And she found her shoes. God set a boundary. And we go and we enjoy it. And we go, oh, this is so beautiful. And I want to stay on the beach. And I want to stay on the sand. And I get it. I still do. I fully. But once I experienced it, that's over. But God set this boundary. The water can only come so far. And it always amazes me that there's still sand there. Because if you watch it, if you're really paying attention, as the water comes in, as it moves back, there's an amount of sand that's kind of being taken out. Yeah. It's bringing some in, but it seems like it's always taking some out, and yet there's always sand there. Imagine that. You'd think someone was in charge of all that. I know who's not in charge of it. It'd be a big mess. If any man would touch that, it would be the biggest mess in the whole world. But God? No deal. No problem. He's meted out the mountains and the valleys in his hand. Ah, that's my God. 23. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of harvest. They just think they have everything, that they can take charge of everything. But it's amazing when God stops the rain, then people begin to look for someone over themselves. Verse 25. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins hath withholding good things from you. Well, we could do a lot of preaching right there on that verse. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins hath withholding good things from you. So this next week, next Monday, Cindy and I are going to go to a pastor couples retreat. And it's just pastors and wives from all over the country. They've got over 88 couples coming this year. It's the first time they've been this large. People coming from Washington State and down in Texas, and I think some from back east, going to go to Branson for just a getaway. Husbands and wives, pastors and their wives, not second men, missionaries and their wives, or pastors and their wives, going to go there. And I want you to know it's just a great time to go and to be with fellow servants of the Lord who believe in the things of God. And so today I got this text. I happen to have the opportunity this year of being the keynote speaker on Monday night. And so I'm in this group of, I don't know, I think there's 13 speakers at the conference. And so I get this text from the guy putting on the conference. I'm in a group. And he's talking about, hey, you know, we've got 88 couples coming, and, you know, he's on and on and on about he's praying for us and that. And so I saw that, and I got a moment, and I just popped back a text real quick, told him that, you know, my prayer was God to be glorified through it, and praying for each of the speakers. And so my phone, for some reason, when I type God, capital G-O-D, it's always capital G-O-O-D. And I'm in a hurry. I'm just, boom. And then I read it. Ah, a dumb phone. It put good instead of God. It just doesn't even read right, you know? So I text back in. I said, dumb autocorrect. Every time I type in God, it puts good. I meant God. And then this friend of mine, that's what friends are good for, he quickly said, but God is good. So I had to not be upped by him. So I said, God is good all the time, except when spell check changes God to good. Anyhow, it does good to remember the good things God does for us. You know? For among the people, verse 26, for among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait. As he that set a snares, they set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge? Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. What a sad commentary. The prophets are prophesying falsely, and the priests are bearing rule by their own means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? What a sad commentary, this nation of Israel. We come to point B here, Israel's terrible punishment. Verse number 6 of chapter 5. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. I think we realize that we're not going to get away with doing wrong when it comes to God. He gives us an opportunity to do right. He gives us opportunity to repent. He gives us opportunity to turn back to Him. And eventually there will come a payment. There will be a punishment if we would refuse to turn back to Him. And He's telling the nation of Israel, look, turn back before it's too late. If you don't turn back, these things are going to happen. Our second point here is to be attacked and defeated by hostile armies. Verses 14 through 19. God will bring disaster on His own people and will make them serve for. It says, wherefore, verse 14, wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, a house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, it is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Their quiver is an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men, and they shall eat up thy harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters shall eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up the vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities, wherein thou trustest with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end of you. And it shall come to pass, when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in our land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. So He's warned them with animals. You need to repent. You need to turn back. And these animals will come. They'll afflict you. And now He's telling the nation of Israel, look, there's armies mightier than you that will come and enslave you and impoverish you and destroy your land and destroy all that you hold on to in the hopes that I can bring you back to me. I can bring you back to me. Oh, I hope our prayers every day, God, am I right with you? Am I close to you? Am I where I should be with you? If not, God, I want to come back to you. I want to come back to that right relationship. I want to come back to that right walk. I want to have time with you. I want you to be my Father. I want to where I fail you, God. I want to confess that. I want your mercy anew every day in my life, that I might walk with you and be found pleasing in your sight. Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you for the time together hearing your word. What a blessing it is to be able to read and study from the time of Jeremiah, the nation of Israel. And Lord, we realize that men down through the centuries have always been as men are today. They've always wanted to be their own God, or to be able to control God, to put you in a box and to have you do as they would see fit. God, I pray that you might remind us that you are not that God. You're the great and awesome God. Lord, you have set the bounds of this world in which we live. And God, I pray that we'd be faithful just to set our faces about serving you and loving you and putting you first in all we do. Thank you for this time together tonight. We pray, even in this invitation, if there's needs that need to be taken care of, that you would work and have your will done in our lives and our hearts. We love you, and we ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Brother Charlie's going to lead us and take my life and let it be. If God's spoken to your heart, you want to come to the altar, we'd encourage you to do that. Whatever your need is tonight, Brother Charlie, would you lead us?
Take my life and let it be. God's sacred. Lord, to thee.
Please be seated. We have new prayer bulletins. If you didn't pick one up on your way in, we have some guys here.